So therefore, both in the area of literature in general, prose, novels, trying to introduce the voice of women into the larger Jewish culture on the one hand, and in the area of history, as we've already mentioned, and finally in the area of liturgy, there are three areas in which feminists have left their impact upon modern Jewish culture. I should mention one other aspect, which I think is very interesting. We mentioned before Orthodox Jewish women. Clearly, they are more restrained in, if they are indeed going to remain Orthodox, in offering far-reaching and radical changes, either in the service or in their own status. But what is most interesting, and this is a reflection on the academy in general, while women, Orthodox women, cannot yet be rabbis, many have gone to doctoral programs in secular universities to study Jewish studies, to empower them in such a way as to go back to the Jewish community, offering a remarkable expertise in the area of history or philosophy or thought or sociology or any field, literature, and to offer their expertise as Jewish scholars, thus rethinking the past in relationship to the present. So even among these Orthodox Jewish women, well-trained in Jewish sources, I might add, they are offering us a new perspective, a new army of scholars who will indeed transform the larger culture of American Jewry. Let us now speak more directly about the impact of feminism on Jewish theology. And here I want to begin with an essay written by Judith Plaskow in 1971, which eventually led to her book, Standing Again at Sinai. The article is also called Standing Again at Sinai, in which this clarion call for a feminist perspective on Jewish culture left its mark on Jewish life. I'm not suggesting this was the only essay, the only polemic that did it, but clearly it was one of the most important. Let me read you the first two paragraphs or so of this essay to give you a sense of its place within the larger culture. There is perhaps no verse, Judith Plaskow writes, in the Torah more disturbing to the feminists than Moses' warning to his people in Exodus 19:15. Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. This is from Exodus 19. As the Jewish people are about to ascend the mountain to receive the law. For here, at the very moment that the Jewish people stand at Mount Sinai, ready to enter into the covenant, not now the covenant with the individual patriarchs, but presumably with the people as a whole, Moses addresses the community only as men. The specific issue is ritual impurity. An emission of semen renders both a man and his female partner temporarily unfit to approach the sacred. But Moses does not say, men and women do not go near each other. At the central moment of Jewish history, women are invisible. It was not their experience that interested the chronicler or that informed and shaped the text. The verse sets forth a pattern recapitulated again and again in Jewish sources. Women's invisibility at the moment of entry into the covenant is reflected in the content of the covenant, which in both grammar and substance addresses the community as male heads of household. It is perpetuated by the later tradition, which in its comments and codifications takes women as objects of concern or legislation, but rarely sees them as shapers of tradition and actors in their own lives. It is not just an historical injustice that is at stake in this verse, however. There is another dimension to the problem of the Sinai passage, essential for understanding the task of Jewish feminism today. Were this passage simply the record of an historical event long in the past, the exclusion of women at this critical juncture would be troubling, but also comprehensible for its time. The Torah is not just history, however, but also living memory. The Torah reading, as a central part of the Sabbath and holiday liturgy, calls to mind and recreates the past for succeeding generation. When the story of Sinai is recited as part of the annual cycle of Torah readings and a special reading for Shavuot, the Jewish holiday, women each time hear ourselves thrust aside anew, eavesdropping on a conversation among men and between man and God. Now, that is a very, very interesting and powerful opening. The point, of course, that she is making is that the critical moment when Jews receive the law as an entire community, women are invisible. Jewish law has classified women as peripheral Jews, as marginal Jews, whose spirituality is based on not performing all the commandments assigned to men, and who are relatively absent not only at Sinai, but from the central activities that define Jewish life.